welcome to another edition of Leading and Growing Your Real Estate Business. Coach James Shorty, aka Shorty, and welcome to another edition. Before we begin, make sure you press that little subscribe button so you get the latest edition into your inbox, but more importantly, allows us to get amazing guests like the person that we're about to hear from today. Now, if you don't know this amazing guest already, you dead set have rocks in your head. She is a mover and shake within the industry. She is the go-to person on an industry, but also a market component. We have the PR coming to her left, right, and center. You would have seen her on TV. You would have heard her on the radio. You would have read her in the newspapers. Amanda Gould from High Spec Properties is Mrs. Real Estate. She is her client list is as tall as the Empire State Building. She's bought some beautiful properties everywhere from south to up here in beautiful Byron Bay. And it's such an honor and a privilege to have her on to the show today. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us, and good to see you again, because this is not your first time you've been on the show.
No, it's not. Thank you for that introduction. Wow. It's very warm and big. Thanks, James.
But that's why I wanted to get you back on, because your last episode was such a huge hit, and you provide so much value every time that you're on a podcast or you're on TV and so forth. And you've been a busy, busy lady. Last we've spoke, it was a little while ago, but you were on a TV show. How did that? What was that? Talk us about that. What was that about?
That was loads of fun, I have to say. Don't mind being on the camera. Dream Listing Byron Bay, and everybody that I run into keeps asking, when are you going to have a second series? When are you going to have a second series? It didn't get picked up, unfortunately, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, as did a lot of the agents that I was on with. And as you are aware, I was the only buyer's agent, which was great to bring that consumer focus and understanding. And that was really filmed in the peak of the market when it was going nuts and, 60.9% growth in Lennox and Suffolk. So, prices have obviously come back significantly from there, but it was when things were going crazy, prices, people were just wanting property in that area. So it was really good to film in that sort of environment, but it certainly has come off since then.
Yeah, I mean, it was so good. You, once again, like as I said before, you're providing so much value and insights to the market up here in Byron Bay, Lennox Head, Suffolk Park, all those beautiful areas. Noticing that transition though, like taking from the intensity and the, I guess everyone was looking to get a piece of their paradise, so to speak. What have you noticed around with the market since then from now? What are you noticing? There's been some transition, there's been some shifts. You've got a good sense of what's happening in the Sydney market and many other markets. What are you noticing overall with the market shifts and trends?
Well, there is a big difference between Byron. So Byron is usually lagging behind Sydney, but Sydney is actually going great guns at the moment, I have to say, in most price points. There's not enough stock, which is driving price, which is usually everything that happens in Sydney has been like that for many years. We go up and down with stock. We're hoping after the holidays that are about to come up here that we're actually going to start seeing more stock. Some locations are better than others, but Byron, we've seen a significant decrease since that 2021 peak, probably down anywhere from 10 to 20% would be on average. Stock levels have risen, which means that it's starting to even out. We did see things starting to pick up again in February this year, but we started seeing in March that they've come back down again. So, we certainly haven't seen anywhere near 2021 prices, but that's good for consumers wanting to buy in because the prices have come down to a more reasonable level. I mean, it's still higher than Sydney for the general overall price, median house price, but it's a lot less competition than there used to be, which obviously drives price.
So true.
So instead of having eight buyers or six buyers, you've got one to two buyers, and it's really just trying to get those buyers up to a level that the vendor will sell. And then you've got vendors that have still got their head in the game from 2-3 years ago that haven't caught up with the reality, and they really think that their property is worth more. Since the show, I've had a lot of vendors reach out to me. If I was a sales agent, I could have sold a lot of houses. I obviously refer those on to my favorite agents up there, but Yeah, I've had a lot ask me before they go to an agent, do I have any clients? So that's an interesting change since the show, which sometimes can work, but you've got to have that exact person looking for that exact house at that time. So it's probably better that they just get it on with an agent, either off market or on market.
And that's
And
so
then in
true. Like,
Sydney,
yeah, go on, go in
sorry.
Sydney.
Well, Sydney, we've seen, I've been at a number of auctions. Pretty much every week we're going to an auction, and there's a lot of buyers out in force. I think that with the interest rates, even though they have helped, they have increased obviously in the last number of years, which has put the brakes on a lot of buyers. But now we've had a couple of months or a few months of being a little bit more stable. The more buyers are out there. They've also got the 3 month window where if interest rates go up again, their borrowing power goes down. So that is why people I think are more desperate, because they might be coming up to the end of their approval period and they're just wanting to buy something before the next. So if they pay $50,000 more, in the scheme of things, they might get $100,000 less in the next rate rise. So people are, weighing it up and seeing, what is it worth just throwing everything in the, even though it's overpaying. I mean, I went to an auction in Balmain East the night before the Easter break, and I was bidding for a client, and the guide was 2.8 to 3, and it sold for 3.6, 3.5. Two are
Wow.
downsizes, and downsizers at the moment are getting record prices for their homes, so they don't mind overpaying, what I would call overpaying, for a property, because in the end they didn't earn that money. It was just from, from the increases that have happened over the lifetime they've held that property. So to them, an extra 200, 300,000 may not be the same as, if it, well, it isn't the same as a first-time buyer or somebody climbing up the ladder. They're coming back down the ladder, so it's a little bit easier for them. So we've definitely seen a change there, and I think you'll see the AFR is writing an article on downsizes and the impact that they're having on the market that I helped contribute to recently.
Yeah, very interesting. And hence the importance of using your services as a buyer's agent, because you've got your finger on the pulse and you know what's out there. You know how to, negotiate with the agents out there. What are you noticing in trends of with buyer's agency work? Like what's been happening there? Obviously, because of shortage of stock, you need to sort of be ahead of the game, and know what's coming on even before it's really hit the market. Would that be a fair call?
That would be definitely a fair call, James. And I think that with off market, so as you know, we've had a boom in buyers agents starting and joining the industry, which is great. We're getting a lot more recognition within the industry. However, we just got to make sure that the service levels are the same. And one person going to a buyer's agent that's got, 5 months experience as opposed to decades of experience is not going to get the same. They're not going to have the same relationships with agents that we've built up over decades. They're not going to get the same opportunities. Now, I bought something in the inner west in Tempe on Thursday last week, and that was an exclusive off market. And that's what you get when you deal with agents time and time again. You might get exclusivity because you've been doing this a long time and you know those agents, and they know you have clients that perform for the price, of course. But we successfully purchased that property, and that's just one of many that we have like that. So I think that having a really connected buyer's agent working for you, somebody that's been in the game a long time, that know what they're doing and have those decades of experience, we know how the agents work. We know the ones that will sell off market. And the ones that sell on market, there's a lot of agents that may not have the database that other agents have. So they need to have an on-market presence to get those contacts to grow their database. And I completely understand that. But when we're playing in the on-market role, actually harder for us to do our job on market because there's a lot more moving parts. There's more competition, and we might have to move a lot more quickly to be able to secure that asset, that property within a certain time frame. Or we may have to go to auction, and then we're going to have to deal with people's emotions on the day. So there's a lot more to deal with when it's on market versus off. Off, we'll have a certain, if it's exclusive, we'll have it for a certain amount of time before they want to take it to the rest of their database if we don't perform. And then database, you've got a little bit more competition, but not as much as on market. So there's a lot of different variances. Off market properties will be overpriced. So it's about navigating that and letting your clients know there's no statistics to back that up, but this is what they're asking. Where do you think, you know, this is where we think the value is. Where do you think you feel comfortable?
Yeah, so true. Talk to me about the importance of the buyer's agent and the agent relationship, because you've built up some amazing relationships over the years, but why is that important for both parties? Why is having that relationship so important for one, the buyer's agent, but also for the agent selling the property?
Yeah, look, I think the biggest, the most important part of a relationship is that we've got to understand it's a win-win. Now, I understand that I'm out there to get the best deal for my client and they are too, but if we don't meet in the middle, there'll be no deal that happens, right? Obviously within reason. So knowing the relationship is paramount to everything. If you don't have good relationships with agents and you are not well regarded, you will not get off markets. Your deal will not get over the line. You know, I might match somebody else's. I might not even increase my offer, but they know that I will perform with a 66W and a, you know, I'll have all my due diligence completed prior and I'll be able to do that in a timely manner. I bought something 10 days ago from an agent on the Northern Beaches, not 10 days, well, the night before Easter. And my client only told us at 11 a.m. that morning that they liked the property we'd seen the day before. And between my team, we took parts of the due diligence. So one did price research, one liaised with the solicitor, one read the building and pest. We did all of that. And we bought that property by 6 p.m. that night.
Whoa.
So hours. And that was before the long weekend because we knew if they opened it again, we'd have more competition. I also knew that agent and have known him for, you know, maybe 15 years. So I think it's just knowing the true value of the property. Are we overpaying? Is it the right amount? Can we get all of this done in time? And will that actually get us to the goalpost of buying the property? And, you know, usually the night before a long weekend when everybody else is asleep, we're still working. And any good buyer's agent will tell you the same thing.
I love it. And, you know, for all the agents out there listening to this, this is why – one, firstly, you need to reach out to Amanda. But secondly, is that relationship is so important of, you know, like 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Like that's just like huge, that's just phenomenal record time of getting all that information done, dusted and delivered in that time frame. Well done. Go you. Go you.
Thank you.
So what
we can done 2.5 hours. So it can be done if you have a team behind you. Because if you're a one-man band, there's no way you could get all of that due diligence done in time to it properly, like checking surrounding development applications, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, no, it's really good. But so I think also noting that a good agent and a buyer's agent relationship is not just about, you know, obviously we're both there to get the deal done for the client for the right amount of money on both sides, but being able to make it a smooth transition. Like we should all be working towards a common goal. We're also speaking the same language, agent to agent. You know, they trust us more than they trust the general public. If the general public says they're coming with an offer, they don't really know if that's really true. But if I say I'm coming in with an offer, it's more likely. I mean, our second highest referrer is agents, mortgage brokers, then agents. So, you know, that shows that they trust us. They trust us with their clients to be able to achieve the best results.
Yeah, love it. What's coming up? What's coming up in the future in relation to trends in buyer's agency work? Where do you think it's going? What do you think the next 6 to 12 months look like for the industry?
I think we'll keep seeing more people joining the industry. What we are concerned about from a board level, from the Real Estate Institute board, is that everybody has got that has got the experience, and they're not trying to cut corners to get to where they're going. Because there's certain companies that are out there promoting become a buyer's agent. It's, you know, you can earn this part time. I don't know how you could do this job part time. I mean, I work 7 days a week, you know, as most good buyer's agents do, you know, and working out how to get their license without having to do the right amount of training, et cetera. And that's a concern for us as an industry and as a segment of the industry, you know, from a board and from a buyer's agent committee level. I just want to make sure that everybody's giving the best results to the consumer with the experience that they've achieved over the time frame they need to.
Yeah, spot on, man. I remember that a few years ago, like in the fitness industry, it was where personal training was the dollar dozen. You know, you could just get it out of the Weet-Bix cereal, and look, you'd be earning $100 an hour while living the rest of your time on the beach. It's like, nah, it doesn't work like that.
Exactly. And there's no shortcut to success.
No shortcut.
You have to put hours. You have to put, I mean, I still hustle. I've been doing this for over a decade. Like, come on, you know, you just got to get in and work. And I mean, thankfully, I love what I do. And I think that shines through to the clients and to other people within the industry. But I really can't imagine just taking the breaks off and not doing that. But there's no shortcut to success.
Yeah. Now let's talk about you. You're a busy, busy woman. You've got so many things going on, which is amazing. And you're really smashing in so many different areas. How do you personally fit it all in? You know, you're a busy mom. It's busy business lady, busy. Like it's all systems go. How do you manage it all? What's your secret to your time management?
I don't think there's any secret, and I certainly wouldn't ever say it's work-life balance. I think it's work-life integration, because it is integrating part of you. I find now, like, for example, working out, I like to work out. I feel like my brain is a lot clearer when I do, but the only time I can do that without interruption is a 6 a.m. class. If I don't do a 6 hour or a 6:15 a.m. class, then I won't do a class at the end of the day. I'm too busy. You know, like I didn't know yesterday on Sunday that I'd be reading two strata reports in an AGM this morning and trying to get that done before 12 p.m. So I've been racing to get that done. So you don't know in this industry. You know, a client, you see a property and then a client thinks about it overnight and then they say they need it and then there's another offer on it. So you've got to move quicker to make sure they're in the box seat to buy it. So I think it's delegating the time. I do wake up early. I do wake up at 5:30. I walk the dog. I go to gym, and then I start my day. You know, manage it. I've only got one child. I know there's people that have got multiple children. I don't know how they do it. She's a massive sports freak and fanatic and a national gymnast and swimmer. So I've got a lot of those moving parts to get her to you know, sports carnivals, etc. too. I think you just work it out and you work around it. I mean, if I can get to any of those around my work and maybe delegate some of the other work parts to members of my teams so we can do it, and vice versa, if they have something that they want to get to, you know, we're all mums, so I want to make sure that we have that flexibility. And I suppose the good thing about this business is you do have flexibility to a point, but you also have to work long hours. So the only way really I can fit it in is to have a team supporting me, and also to work longer hours and, you know, take time where I can. I don't think there's any recipe to success there. I think, you know, some days I feel like I'm nailing it and some days I do not. Amanda, you've got to be in the Gold Coast because I've got my Queensland license, my WA license, and my SA license. So you've got to be here, there, everywhere. And then I'm thinking, what can I cancel? What is non-negotiable? What is negotiable? So
true, right? And that's the thing. Like, there is so not a 9-to-5 within the industry. It's just like, okay, I've got a bit of time here. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It's just like, you just get it done, right? You just get it done.
I work well like that, though, James. Like, I can pivot really quickly, and I know that people from my team or past people from my team would know that that's probably a little bit of a, you know, like things that get fired at you. I just pivot. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. Some people are not. They're a little bit more regimented, and they can't handle that constant change. I don't mind it. I think that I can pivot to change quite quickly. Some days better than others, but yeah.
So true. I love it. All right. So we've got 60 second quiz to find out a little bit more about yourself. Are you ready to play?
I sure am.
All right. Cool. Favorite movie?
Oh, The Big Blue.
Ooh,
it's about free diving.
Okay. Nice. Favorite food?
Salmon.
Favorite holiday destination?
Oh, the Greek islands for sure.
We already have heard a bit about your morning routine, but what's your morning routine?
Getting up, walking my greyhound Billy at 5:30, then going to gym at 6, then coming back and making my daughter's lunch, and then getting her off to school, and then getting myself off to work.
So good. What about an evening routine? Do you have an evening routine?
Depends on how much work I've got to do in the evening, but I do like to, if I get a chance, just to relax on the couch and watch a television series. because it makes it's the only thing that can get me to unwind at the end of the day.
Love it. Do you have a an embarrassing moment that you'd like to share?
Oh, goodness. Not that I can think of off the top of my head. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. If you could choose five.
I'm sure there's plenty.
If you could choose five inspirational people to have dinner with, they could be dead or alive, who would they be?
Oh, good. George Michael, for sure. I would like to have dinner with, Pink, Bethany Frankel, Mia Friedman, and one more, David Bowie.
Ooh. Love it. What a great dinner party that would be. If you were Prime Minister for the day, what's one thing that you would change?
Stamp duty.
And what's your best piece of advice that you can give?
Best piece of advice is to only take advice from people that are more successful than you. Please don't take advice from somebody, if you're wanting to build a business, from somebody that hasn't done it or isn't where you want to be.
Love it. So true. So true. So what's coming up for you? What's on your personal horizon with the business? Any exciting projects that you're working on?
Look, we're buying more and more. I got my WA license last year, the end of last year. So we're buying more in that arena, which is great. So it's a new market for me. SA, I have been buying there for a bit, and that's great. It's very, very fast moving and fast paced, but great for the investor if you've got under 800,000 and you're not sure where to buy. So that's good. And growing. I've got a luxury client at the moment looking for riverfront in Queensland, which is also good. So they're all exciting things on the horizon.
Fantastic. And how can the audience reach out or follow your journey? What's the best place to go and how can they follow you?
They can follow me on Instagram, highspec.properties. Our website, of course, highspecproperties.com.au. And, I'm all over social, so they should be able to find me from there.
Awesome. Amanda, really appreciate it. Always love chatting. Thank you for your time, wisdom, and experience. And it's so glad to have you on the show once again. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, James. Great to see you again.
Bye for now.